Have a great day.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Five U.S. military people have died in the crash of a Chinook helicopter in Anbar Province. The cause is not yet known. 175 civilians dead in Iraq. In the northern provinces, at least four terror truck bombs, including one targeting a small religious group in Kurdish territory. U.S. and Iraqi forces are in the midst of an operation giving chase and keeping up the pressure.
A smart enemy that knows that the Iraqi parliament is not meeting, can't react to it, and 100% of the responsibility of doing something will fall on the Americans. So it appears that the enemy has taken its lull and now back on the offensive.
That's CBS News legal analyst Mike Lyons. CBS News has confirmed Congressman Dennis Hastert, former Speaker of the House, will announce on Friday his retirement. He's expected to serve out his term, which expires next year. Reaction from one on Capitol Hill to the continued problems with products from China, from tainted food to toy recalls. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
We are calling on the Consumer Product Safety Commission to literally embargo toys exported from China to the United States until we can make an assurance that these toys are safe.
That's what Mattel says it is already doing after announcing 9 million toys are being recalled, going back over 5 years of sales over magnets kids could swallow and possible lead in the paint. At least a dozen people have died in the wilting hot weather in various states, including five near Memphis, Tennessee. Shelby County Medical Examiner Karen Chancellor.
Four of these individuals had no air conditioning, and they were found inside their dwellings. The other one was outside. It was an elderly female who appeared to have been doing some yard work.
Barbara Morgan, teacher in space, talks to students. CBS's Peter King joins us live now from Kennedy Space Center.
She taught in Idaho for more than 20 years. Never like this.
I'm Barb Morgan, and we are ready for your first question. Welcome aboard the International Space Station.
And like good students, a greeting and questions.
Hi, I'm Sarah Avery. If you threw a baseball in space, how fast did it go?
Sometimes they were answered with questions.
If you could throw a baseball in space, just how slow could you throw it?
As she and her crewmates let one float away for show. Harley?
Probably the most famous call Phil Rizzuto ever made when Roger Maris broke the Babe's home run record.
Fastball hit deep to right. This could be it. Way back there. Holy cow, he did it. 61 for 9.
Phil Rizzuto has died. As a player, he was a Hall of Famer at shortstop for the Yankees, MVP in 1950. Phil Rizzuto was 89. On Wall Street today, a sorrowful day. The Dow lost 207 points. The Nasdaq was off 43 points. Oil prices, $72.38 a barrel, up 76 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
The defense lawyers for Jose Padilla say the government got it all wrong, that Padilla went overseas only to study Arabic and Islam for peace, nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Defense attorneys focused upon tiny details of the case, where Padilla's fingerprints were placed on a key document, for example, but also upon broad themes, like whether this entire case is politically motivated and driven by religious intolerance, the idea being that the more jurors have to chew on in deliberations, the more likely they'll be to come back with acquittals.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen, the jury gets the case tomorrow. Caffeine can be too much for some folks. A North Durham teenager, that's in England, by the way, wound up in a hospital with a caffeine overdose. She's a waitress at her family's sandwich shop, and she was hitting the espresso pretty hard. Sweating, hyperventilating, crying, heart palpitations like speed, but on coffee. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to Geico for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
You put a Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Peter B. Collins! Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's day two of my return from vacation. I'm rested and still riled about the passage of the legalization of spying under the National Security Agency in direct violation of the FISA law. And now the Congress has papered over the law-breaking of the Bush administration. We're going to talk about that and much more on today's program. We've only got 3 hours. We'll do our best to cover it all. Coming up next hour, David Elliott will join us from the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty. Word out of Washington today is there is an attempt to give even more power to Alberto Gonzalez, who presided over numerous executions, a record-setting 130 to 150 in the state of Texas. And the proposal is that the Attorney General will be able to fast-track death penalty cases at the state level. This is quite remarkable. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org, who's followed Karl Rove very carefully over the last few years. He'll be with us to talk about the issues of Rove's resignation and executive privilege, whether it will continue to shield him from the subpoenas and other investigations. Also on today's program, 2 hours from now, Melanie Sloan returns, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She's an attorney who will weigh in on the Rove and executive privilege issues. Also, Ted Stevens' problems with corruption. And did John Boehner break the law in trying to pass this NSA legalization bill by leaking some information that was classified? Crew has filed a complaint about that to try to get to the bottom of it. But in our first hour today, we want to talk about impeachment. And you'll hear two views regarding impeachment of Bush, Cheney, and Gonzalez. First, in a moment, Bruce Fine returns to our program, a Republican who served in the Reagan administration as a counsel in the Justice Department and also at the FCC. And a little bit later this hour, Bob Furtick will join us from the other side of the aisle. He, of course, is a Democrat, and he runs the website impeachpack.org. We'll get the latest on the strategies and efforts to get more co-sponsors for the Dennis Kucinich resolution, H.Res. 333.
Shipping all our
Bruce Fine returns to our program today. He's a constitutional lawyer. He's chairman of the American Freedom Agenda. He has a forthcoming book, Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle of Our Constitution and Democracy. Bruce Fine, welcome back. It's good to talk with you again.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I really appreciate that you are unrelenting in your efforts. There's an op-ed in today's San Francisco Chronicle, and people outside of the Bay Area can find it at sfgate.com. But you are putting pressure in Nancy Pelosi's home turf to try to get her to take impeachment and put it back on the table, which is something I certainly support. And tell me where you stand right now. We talked about a month ago, and I would imagine that more and more Republicans, at least privately, are conveying to you support of your position. Is that the case?
Well, I think there's a trepidation factor out there. And Republicans, I think, worry that impeachment could hurt their chances for 2008. And I think John Boehner represents that. They were the lead champions in this latest exercise that you described at the top of the hour of eviscerating the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and actually playing really downfield blockers for legislation that was a charade anyway, because the president, to my knowledge, continues to say he doesn't have to obey the law in any event.
Yeah.
And that's just a staggering, you know, support for a proposition that any conservative Republican should find abhorrent, namely that the president can disregard the laws at will.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really view the issue of abuse of power that necessarily falls around Republican-Democrat lines. It's an indifference that's worrisome because it's so deep.
Yeah.
In the congressional infrastructure, if you will.
And you, of course, were part of the Ken Starr team, and you supported the impeachment of President Clinton. On the narrow question, I believe that Bill Clinton lied, and I think in turn he earned the essentially the indictment that came from the House of Representatives. And in turn, I believe that the Senate made the right decision not to remove him from office for those offenses. As you look at this picture, do we have a kind of hardened attitude on the part of incumbents in Congress against impeachment of any sort?
I think there's a reluctance, and I think the Clinton experience creates that reticence, if you will. But just because there's been an error in application doesn't mean you discard the entire instrument, as Nancy Pelosi did. I mean, what you think of foreign affairs if you took, you know, one of your weapons that would deter wrongdoing off the table, you'd say that's foolish. Why are you showing your adversary exactly what you won't do so that it would embolden him?
Well, and,
well,
and a more,
you're going to use the instrument in a cavalier fashion, but when Nancy Pelosi said, "I'm wiping out the impeachment clause altogether," that is not a signal that's responsible and emboldens the president, I think, to continue on these extravagant assertions of inherent power that's persisted for over 6 years.
And a more trivial example, no one has suggested that in the month of August we're not going to prosecute bank robbers or kidnappers or, you know, take some crime and just say, oh, we're taking that off the table.
Exactly, and there's an obligation that's unflagging on the Congress to continually scrutinize the executive branch to determine whether there are abuses and to respond accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Nancy Pelosi could not possibly have been able to imagine all the potential abuses that might occur that she would rule out as being sufficiently grievous to justify taking the reins of power away from men who don't have the responsibility to exercise it consistent with the rule of law.
Mm-hmm. Now, I referenced your participation on the Ken Starr team. Have you talked to Ken Starr recently, and does he have any comment on the positions you've been espousing?
I haven't spoken to Ken. He's out at Pepperdine now, as you know. He's a dean of the law school there.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken, I guess, with some of his professors who worked with Ken, Doug Kamik, who was also in the administration of
right.
George Bush, and I think he's tried to defend, but with lightness, the executive branch principles that he thinks justify in part what's being done here. So the fact is, in my judgment, not enough debate is being had about impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously creates political hackles because it seems to many a very drastic remedy, but the Founding Fathers placed it in there for a purpose. And the purpose wasn't criminal punishment. It was to make sure the Constitution wasn't abused, that precedents didn't get set that will lie around like loaded weapons to be used by any president to try to destroy rivals. Mm-hmm. And when you have a president say, I don't have to obey the laws that I sign if I don't like certain parts of them. If you have a president who says, I can flout laws that I think restrict me in gathering foreign intelligence in any way, including committing torture, kidnapping, breaking into their homes, and spying you, those are dangerous, dangerous precedents. They go to the heart of our fundamental freedoms, the right to be left alone, the right to speak without fearing retaliation. And it's those that I think are quite worrisome when we have the Speaker of the House saying, we shouldn't bother with this because it might harm the Democratic Party chances. Well, my response is, so what? The Constitution is more important than either the Democratic or Republican Party chances. The Constitution is for all times. The Constitution is for those yet to be born, and they are the ones who will be visited most terribly by these precedents whenever there's another time of strife that may be even worse than 9/11.
Bruce Fein is with us. He served in the Reagan administration Justice Department, also at the Federal Communications Commission, and he is an outspoken advocate for upholding the Constitution and the rule of law in this country. And I agree that it crosses party lines. It really transcends any political partisanship, and we should be approaching these issues in that manner. Bruce, I've been traveling a lot, and I didn't get to see it, but I, before the show today, read a transcript of your appearance on the Bill Moyers PBS show recently. You were co-guests with my good friend John Nichols, who writes for The Nation and has written a very powerful book about impeachment, complete with historical references going back well beyond the Lewinsky case. Did you and John Nichols fully agree, or are there any areas of disagreement regarding the need for a full accountability for the members of this administration?
Well, I think if there are disagreements, there may be small ones. There are some areas where I think Congress is what you might say imperi delicto, and I would not think that the Congress should be impeaching a president, for example, over Iraq, when after, you know, the full knowledge is out there, the Congress continues to fund the program, the war, irrespective of the misrepresentations on weapons of mass destruction. It can't be called a presidential war when every single penny is appropriated now by a Democratic Congress. In that area, I think John would feel perhaps the misrepresentations similar to those that Lyndon Johnson made to get his Gulf of Tonkin resolution wouldn't rise necessarily to the impeachable level, not because in isolation they might not, but when you have Congress in their eyes open, go ahead and basically ratify what he did, that doesn't seem to me to be an overreach. Both parties really have a plague on both houses.
And given that point, which is very, very persuasive, Bruce Fein, does the Military Commissions Act undermine any effort to impeach Bush and Cheney over detention and torture policies? And does this recent bill that legalizes the NSA eavesdropping and other intercepts, many unknown to us, do those essentially undercut any effort to impeach on those issues?
I think they do in part. But the remaining issues that they don't undercut seem to me clearly to satisfy the impeachment benchmark in any event. For example, the recent bill that passed is called the Protect America Act, which really is a misnomer. They use euphemisms for every time they want to take away your liberties. It really is not a concession by the president that he's even complying with the law. I was over at the Department of Justice. I was invited yesterday, and I said, well, the president continues to insist that he doesn't have to comply with any of these laws anyway. How will we know whether he's actually even this modest law that is an anemic regulation, but at least some on the president's gathering foreign intelligence? How do we know whether he's violating it in any event because he claims inherent constitutional power to do so? I said, will you tell us? Will you tell the American people if the president has now chosen to say he can't live with the law and is going beyond it? No, that will all be secret. The president still claims none of these laws can bind him, that he can commit torture no matter what the law is, that he can break and enter our homes no matter what the law is. So these seem to me elements that Congress cannot exonerate. Mm-hmm. And furthermore,
Bruce, let me stop you there. I'm sorry, I'm late for a break. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll pick up with that point. Bruce Fein is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you want to talk about impeachment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Acura TSX, a four-door compact, stylish, well-engineered. For $30,000, you get a lot to like. The TSX has a 2.4-liter fuel-injected four-cylinder engine with a five-speed automatic and has plenty of power and acceleration for its size. Acura promises no tune-ups for over 100,000 miles and gives you a six-year powertrain warranty. Great handling, excellent traction. Inside, it's loaded with accessories. GPS navigation system with a great display, satellite radio, his and hers climate control, moonroof, and full airbags. Pretty big trunk, too. If I had anything critical to say about the TSX, you'd hear it right here. Test drive it before you buy an Infiniti, Volvo, or BMW in this price range. By the numbers, the Acura TSX gets 22 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, stickers in California for about $30,000.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be Peter B. Collins. Coming up about 10 minutes, Bob Furtick will join us from ImpeachPAC.org. We continue our conversation with Bruce Fein, a constitutional lawyer. He served in the Reagan administration in the Edwin Meese Justice Department. He supported and was part of the team that led the impeachment effort against President Bill Clinton. And now he is calling rather unequivocally for impeachment proceedings against, as we discussed last time, Gonzalez, Cheney, and Bush. And Bruce Fein, I had to cut in there for a break as you were about to make a point. And just to refresh you, you were talking about a conversation you had with folks at the Justice Department just yesterday.
Yes, and they confirmed that The president will not tell us when he's violating the law that he just signed, but he claims he has constitutional authority to do so.
And this
so
is this is
the whole. This was just a charade up there.
And this is the very catch-22 that we expect to be in play in the federal courtroom of Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco on Wednesday, tomorrow, when the government will say that you have no standing to bring a case against the NSA because you can't prove that you have been harmed.
Yeah, because they won't tell you who they've spied on.
Right. And we know from the Padilla case that there were over 300,000 intercepts that were conducted in order to find 8 conversations that he was in on. These were overseas phone calls.
Yes, and of course, one of the remarkable things about that is all these intercepts, you know, they were 7 or 8 years before 2000, and then they wait and do nothing and then arrest him or detain him only after 9/11. Well, they did all the investigation before. Was there some political optic that needed to be advanced after 9/11 that wasn't there before 9/11, even though the facts were the same? But I want to go to another point that it does not justify exoneration of Bush or Cheney because of congressional action. And this is the continual thwarting by the president of any kind of congressional oversight by these just preposterous claims of so-called executive privilege or the right to prevent his officials and former officials from testifying whatsoever regarding potential crimes or maladministration. And the most recent is his insistence that Harriet Myers, Karl Rove, Joshua Bolten can't even show up to congressional hearings in asking questions about the White House involvement in the firing of United States attorneys or the possible perjury of Alberto Gonzalez if he misrepresented what the involvement was. And just think back of Nixon and John Dean. Remember, John Dean was Nixon's White House counsel.
Right.
And he spoke chapter and verse to the Senate Watergate Committee about his conversations with Nixon, which ultimately proved the downfall of the president because he was obstructing justice and otherwise misusing power.
Mm-hmm.
And the equivalent would be if Nixon tried to suggest that he could shut John Dean up and say, you can't talk about my criminality. That was never even thought of by Nixon, who himself was not squeamish about exerting very, very strong executive claims.
Nicely put.
And we're basically having President Bush saying, well, if I was there, I would tell John Dean he can't talk about it because he'd show what a rascal I was, and that's not permitted. What's the use of being president if you can't commit a few crimes in the Oval Office?
So, Bruce Fein, does the Rove resignation change things? Is he beyond the reach of the congressional subpoenas, or is he less protected?
No, he is, if anything, less protected, but certainly he is not beyond the reach of the subpoena. And it's obvious that he did not leave the White House for family reasons. That's the proverbial excuse you give in Washington whenever there's an ulterior motive. So the speculation is, what's the real reason, since we know family is not it? But anyway, going back to the idea of the privilege being impeachable offense, it's really sunshine is the best disinfectant for maladministration and lawlessness. And when the congressional oversight power is crippled, that is really, really dangerous. That means we have the potential of secret government spying on us, doing things like kidnapping people abroad, sending them to prisons that we don't know about, creating precedents that could enable people like President Putin of Russia to kidnap us based upon things that President Bush is doing.
Right.
And you cannot have a democracy with secret government. We have to have a government that we know what is doing so that we know how to adjust our political affiliations and loyalties. We have to know what government is doing to know who we should vote for the next time, whether we should approve or disapprove. You can't do that if all of this is secret. And one of the things that's rather ironic about
Quickly.
The latest act that we had here, we couldn't even discuss the warrantless surveillance program if there hadn't been a leak to the New York Times.
Bruce
if Bush
Fein.
Had his way, it'd still be secret.
Bruce Fein, thank you very much. We'll talk again.
All right, thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Welcome to Your Solar Future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Minutes after the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our conversation about the prospects of impeaching members of this administration. And Bob Furtick returns to our program. Furtick, F-E-R-T-I-K. He is the founder of ImpeachPAC.org, and in collusion and collaboration with David Swanson and other progressive Democrats, he's got the website Democrats.com, AfterDowningStreet.org. What am I missing, Bob?
Who knows? I can't keep track.
you just know by the bills that come for all of your websites, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just before you joined us, we had a fascinating conversation. It's the second time we've talked with Bruce Fine, and I'm sure you know who he is. He served in the Reagan Justice Department and also at the FCC.
And he also was on the Ken Starr team that impeached President Bill Clinton. And he is unequivocal in his calls for impeachment for Gonzales, Cheney, and Bush. And it's refreshing to hear a Republican with his credentials speak up about it and really attempt or at least try to help us move beyond the sense that this is just partisanship and it's payback from the Bush haters. There are real fundamental issues here about protecting the future of our democracy and trying to roll back the power grabs, the unprecedented grabs of power that this administration has attempted and to a large degree has succeeded in grabbing.
Well, Bruce Fein has tremendous credentials for this. He's been on, you know, on both sides of this. He's truly principled about it. And he's somebody that the corporate media has to listen to more than us dirty hippies. So that's good. You know, we all make the same arguments that he does, but he gets more credibility when he makes them than when we do.
Mm-hmm. And so I have impeachpact.org up in front of me right now. We're up to 15 co-sponsors of the Kucinich HRES 333. Is that right?
That sounds right. I haven't checked it today. Yeah.
And have things shifted at all in your view? We have recent events like, it's very fresh, the resignation of Karl Rove and the continuing struggle there over the assertions of executive privilege to protect him. It'll be harder to assert that with him out of the administration, but that apparently won't stop Bush. He's done it for Harriet Myers. But also, the way the Democrats caved and papered over the intentional law-breaking of the Bush administration and the NSA spying programs gives me some concern, because one of the comments that Bruce Fein made is that the issues about faulty intelligence and the misleading statements by Bush and Cheney that took us into Iraq, he said those are somewhat reduced in their validity because the Congress has repeatedly voted to fund this war and has not rebuked or otherwise censured the president for that specific action.
Well, as a legal matter, you know, there's no legal issue here. Congress can impeach anybody at any time for any reason, and they don't have to be consistent about the reasons that they use. They could have been on any side of that issue. You know, politically, it's just a matter of what they're willing to make the case to the American people about. We in the advocacy movement believe that the profound issues like Iraq and wiretapping and torture are the best grounds to go forward to take it to the public, because they're matters of, you know, extremely high principle. There are some within Congress. Congress tends to be dominated by lawyers. And lawyers tend to look for the narrowest possible grounds, and even procedural grounds, not matters of substance. So things like avoiding the subpoenas become impeachable, not because they're matters of high principle, but because for lawyers, they're the kind of procedural steps that they feel most comfortable moving forward with. It's a matter of style. It's a matter of perception. It's a matter of background.
Mm-hmm.
You can go either way. You can do both. You know, I'll support either way. You know, to me, the bottom line is Bush needs to be held accountable,
yeah,
and impeachment is how you do it.
Indeed. Dave joins us from Eureka. Thanks for holding, Dave. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Mark was a good Republican. I found myself agreeing with him. And Bob, he may have been making the point, and I'm understanding that impeachment is not a discretionary part of our Constitution. Where there is evidence or serious allegations of high crimes or misdemeanors, the Congress is obligated to take a formal look at it. It's not just something they say.
Bob, what's your take on that?
Well, in principle, yes, they're obligated to do something about it. In practice, they do whatever they feel like. And if we can't get them to stand up to George Bush on illegal warrantless wiretapping, which is in direct defiance of the Fourth Amendment, you know, it's hard to get them to do the things they should do. So it's definitely an argument to use when you're talking with your member to say it's your constitutional duty, your obligation, to put political considerations aside and to honor your pledge to defend the Constitution of the United States. It's a great argument to use, but there are no magic words that you can use with a member of Congress when you're lobbying that's going to make them do something they otherwise don't want to do.
Yeah. Dave, anything you want to add?
Well, if they turn their back and look the other way on the Downing Street memos, then, you know, they look away from anything. Thank you very much for what you're trying to do, though, Bob. You too, Peter.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to check in, talk about impeachment, maybe have a question or a comment for Bob Furtick. He's with us till the top of the hour. And Bob, let's do, I'd like to try to dispense with one red herring that I hear raised often, particularly from liberals and Democrats, and that is that they are under the misperception that Nancy Pelosi would become president in the event of impeachment and successful removal. And I consider that to be a very far-fetched prospect, because I don't think that the Congress and the Senate would vote to remove the president and the vice president simultaneously. And as it has been proposed in the Kucinich resolution, Cheney is the first target. And should he be impeached and ultimately removed by the Senate, he would be replaced by a nominee approved by the Senate and not by the Speaker of the House.
That's right. It's approved actually by the House and the Senate. And what would happen in the real world is a negotiation between the president and the Congress, the Democratic leaders of Congress, over who to replace Dick Cheney with. And if we go back to the example of Spiro Agnew under Richard Nixon when he resigned in the face of a scandal, there was a negotiation between Richard Nixon and the Democratic leaders of Congress, and they settled on Gerald Ford, who was the minority leader in the House.
Mm-hmm.
He was not in line for the presidency in a strict sense, but he was the consensus candidate between the Republican president and the Democratic Congress. So the same thing would happen. You know, that could be somebody, you'd want somebody who would be a unifying figure. Gerald Ford was generally a unifying figure, although he angered a lot of people when he pardoned Richard Nixon.
Indeed.
So you'd want somebody like that. But if the Democrats wanted to stand strong, they could insist on a Democrat. I'm always bringing out the Al Gore scenario. If the Democrats wanted to stand firm, they could tell George Bush, the only person we will accept as your vice president will be Al Gore.
That's very interesting. Yeah. And because the Democrats have majorities, narrow in the Senate and a little wider in the House, they do have the leverage to negotiate such a deal.
Exactly. And they have the threat that if George Bush were not to go along with that and the seat were to remain vacant, then they could impeach George Bush and then they could appoint Al Gore.
So we can dismiss the notion that Nancy Pelosi has taken impeachment off the table to avoid the perception of self-promotion.
Yeah, I don't think that's the major reason why she said in 2006 that she was taking it off the table. It was purely a political calculation. There was a lot of heat coming from Republicans in the spring of 2006, arguing to voters that they shouldn't elect a Democratic majority in Congress because the only thing they would do would be to impeach George Bush. That argument, just a political argument, started to get some traction on some of the right-wing talk shows. And Nancy Pelosi freaked out and declared that impeachment was off the table so that they couldn't use that argument against electing a Democratic majority. Well, you know, that argument was still out there, and the voters ignored that argument and elected a Democratic majority. But Nancy Pelosi never, you know, withdrew her promise, her pledge, and never put it back on the table. But she could tomorrow, and, you know, who knows if that pledge applied to Dick Cheney. Nobody was asking her, so she never really explicitly said it. So,
well, and I'd love him to start with Alberto Gonzalez. There's the low-hanging fruit.
Well, yeah.
Let me read you a quick quote here. This is an op-ed that Bruce Fine published. Maybe it was elsewhere, but it appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle today. President Woodrow Wilson recanted his no-war pledge. President Franklin Roosevelt disowned his balanced budget promise, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi should learn from those examples. She should reconsider her impeachment of Bush's off-the-table pledge. As Ralph Waldo Emerson advised, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. So do you have any sense, I need a little help here because I've been out of the country and pretty well unplugged for about 3 weeks, Bob. Has Pelosi modified her position or softened in any discernible way?
Well, I think the impeachment steps that are being taken by Representative Jay Inslee of Washington and a group of others on impeaching Alberto Gonzalez indicates to me that she's willing to put up with the I word with impeachment. It's not specifically articles of impeachment. It is an impeachment investigation, so it's not as strong as we would like. But I don't think they would have gone forward because these aren't really the most progressive Democrats. They're pretty progressive, but they're mostly prosecutors, former prosecutors. And I don't think they would have gone forward without a green light from the Speaker. So I think that suggests she's willing to talk about impeaching Gonzalez. And I think once, you know, we like to talk about that as a gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
If they impeach Gonzalez, it becomes much easier to impeach Cheney and then Bush. So, you know, I think that's a softening of her position. I think she wants to see a lot of public support and also a lot of support among the members of the Democratic caucus. Right now, if there were a vote on impeachment of any of the three, we wouldn't have 231 votes. All the Democrats would not be united. So I think she wants to see that support growing from rank-and-file Democrats. And that's the job that we have to do as citizens. We have to lobby our members, and not just the most liberal members. We have to take on the tougher, more conservative Democrats and get them on board for impeachment.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel progress is being made there?
Well, I think, as I said, with Jay Inslee and the prosecutors that he's working with, former prosecutors, I think that's a pretty good centrist group. We have the Blue Dogs. I don't think we have any support among the Blue Dogs. There are about 30 or 40 of them. If we get the centrists, then we can focus on those 30 or 40 that would be the last to come on board.
And this is just an aside, but Matt Renner, my former producer, now a reporter at Truth Out, published a piece a couple of days ago regarding the Blue Dogs. And in relation to the legalization of the NSA spying, the bill that was jammed through the first weekend of August, 76% of the Blue Dogs voted for it. And so that gives us, I think, a check of the temperature in the Blue Dog kennels these days. We're going to take a break and return. Bob Furtick is with us. Next, I want to ask him about John Conyers and if the House Judiciary Committee chair has made any moves in the direction of impeachment. If you have a question or a comment, perfect time for it right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Our website, peterbcollins.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli,
with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes in front of the hour, we're talking about impeachment.
Passing wire, tapping in the assassination. I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, cause I'm gonna be a spy. CIDIATFBI. I'll tell you if you keep it quiet, CIA and FBI, etc. They've reformed their former ways and got themselves a brand new raison d'etre. And all the intelligence personnel will work as one well-oiled machine.
Right.
The CIDIATFBI is on the scene.
That's Roy Zimmerman from Faulty Intelligence. We continue with Bob Furtick, and he's an activist on the progressive side of politics in this country. Democrats.com, ImpeachPact.org, AfterDowningStreet.org, all websites that he's involved with. And Bob, I wanted to ask you again, catching up on things I may have missed while I was away. Has John Conyers given any signals, overt or otherwise, that he is prepared to move forward? After all, he laid the groundwork for impeachment, but it appears that he has been given orders by Speaker Pelosi not to pursue it.
Yeah, we're pretty disappointed in Conyers at this stage. He was in San Diego a few weeks ago at a Progressive Democrats of America event and said something like, if we get three more Democrats to support the Kucinich articles of impeachment, that he would hold hearings. But then a couple of days later, that's when Cindy Sheehan and Reverend Lennox Yearwood and Ray McGovern went to march and sit in at his office and met with him for 80 minutes, and he denied any intention of moving forward with impeachment. Didn't matter how many other people signed on. So, yes, he's taking his orders from Nancy Pelosi, and that's why nothing's happening with any hearings in the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm. And feel free to disagree with me, but I question the value of Cindy Sheehan's attempt to challenge Pelosi in her congressional seat. And just in the interest of full disclosure, I, 10 years ago, worked for Pelosi on one of her campaigns, and we helped increase her margin of victory from 78% to 84%. And it's that 84% that really does make her untouchable. And by challenging her in this political way, I think that Cindy forces Pelosi into a hardened position, essentially, of ignoring her. And it kind of ups the ante, where it makes it tougher for Pelosi to change, because she would then have to acknowledge or at least be accused that she did so under pressure from Cindy Sheehan.
Well, you're making a lot of calculations there. You know, Cindy's been the leader of the anti-war movement since she sat down in Crawford and demanded that Bush explain the noble cause for which her son died. And she's, you know, created a movement that had, where, you know, the movement had fallen apart after the start of the war. She revived and resuscitated that movement. And I personally strongly support Cindy in everything that she does, because I can't be in her shoes. I can't make the judgments that she has to make. I don't have to wake up every morning in despair over the loss of my child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she lets her heart lead the way, and that's not a bad approach to politics. How Pelosi chooses to respond is Pelosi's choice. There are many ways she can respond. I would hope that she would engage Cindy on the substance of the issues that Cindy's raising. I would hope that she would give a forthright explanation to the people of her congressional district about impeachment and not hide behind the fact that she is the speaker and shouldn't be involved in it for that reason, that she has a conflict of interest. No, she should be straightforward and tell the people, her voters, whether or not she believes George Bush committed impeachable offenses and whether or not she's going to use the only tool that's in the Constitution, which is impeachment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do understand, and I have much of the same respect for Cindy as you described. I would rather see her push in directions where I think there could be a payoff. And again, my political calculation, and yes, there are many calculations in that, built on some assumptions and premises. But my feeling is that when you corner a political animal, the outcome is fairly predictable.
Well, you know, maybe you're right. I mean, I just, you know, if Cindy feels that that's the best action she can take, then, you know, I'll support her on that, and I will hope that Nancy Pelosi will respond, you know, in a meaningful and substantive way.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking here at the website, and David Swanson made a post, it's about a month ago, that Sam Farr, who is the congressman from the Central Coast, our Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz listening area, he joined the pro-impeachment team. He was the 14th to co-sponsor the Kucinich resolution. And I'm wondering if you know where Peter DeFazio is. He represents the Oregon district where some of our listeners in Coos Bay live.
I don't know off the top of my head where he stands on impeachment.
Uh-huh.
I do try to keep track of the statements that members make, but I don't have them all memorized.
Sure, I understand that. Any others who you think are worth lobbying at this moment, where you feel that you know, they're showing some inkling of a willingness to support impeachment?
Well, I think they're all hearing from many of us. They're getting inundated with petitions. They're at home this month, and they're going to town meetings, and they're meeting constituents, and I think they're hearing it from everybody. Nancy Pelosi took a delegation down to New Orleans today. We had a plane fly up with an impeachment banner to fly over the delegation over New Orleans to keep reminding them everywhere they go that they should be impeaching. So everybody should just be lobbying their members if they haven't already signed on to the Kucinich bill.
Mm-hmm. And the banner you flew over the All-Star game, did Fox cover that?
I don't remember.
I don't either. I watched the game, but I don't recall them saying, oh, look, in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's impeachment. But I think that was a great idea. Well, Bob, keep up the good work. I appreciate it. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bob Furtick. Again, the website, impeachpack.org. We're going to take a break for your top of the hour news and return. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by David Elliott from the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty. Maybe you've heard Alberto Gonzalez is trying to grab more power, including the power to fast-track executions at the state level. He was king of the death chamber in Texas, and I guess he wants to be king of capital punishment nationally. We'll talk with David about that. And later next hour, Jason Leopold will join us. We'll talk about Karl Rove's departure, the executive privilege thing, and much more here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The U.S. death toll mounts with the crash of a transport helicopter in Iran.
Five service members were killed in this helicopter crash.
Millions more made-in-China toys are recalled.
In an abundance of caution, the scope of these recalls is intentionally large.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In the past 2 days, at least nine more American troops have died in Iraq, including five in the crash of a Chinook helicopter west of Baghdad today. CBS News military consultant Mike Lyon says that workhorse transport chopper flies missions all the time.
It's almost surprising we hadn't had more of these kinds of accidents. There's just so many soldiers being transported around right now in this vehicle.
From Baghdad, CBS News correspondent Lara Logan says there are conflicting reports about coordinated suicide bombings in far northern Iraq.
This attack happened so far north of Baghdad in such a remote desert region that it's very, very difficult to get exact information. The Iraqi army is insisting that 175 people have been killed and about 200 wounded when suicide bombers driving fuel tankers attacked the Yazidi community. Now, this is an ethnic minority in Iraq, and there are only about 500,000 of the Yazidis left in the whole world. So it's a very small community, and the U.S. military is saying about 30 people killed, and that's where the confusion comes in.
The White House says extremists continue to show to what lengths they will go to stop Iraq from becoming a stable and secure country. Now this.
Put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at $9.59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
Mattel, which had already recalled 1.5 million toys made in China, today recalled 9 million more.
Some have magnets that can become dislodged and fall out of the toy. And second, one of the recalled products has lead paint.
Nancy Nord of the Consumer Product Safety Commission says no injuries have been reported. The recall includes Polly Pocket playsets, Batman action figures, and die-cast toy cars. Mattel CEO Bob Eckert says they're stepping up quality control.
We're testing every batch of paint before it is used. We're retesting it at the toy manufacturing plant. And we're testing every batch of toys as finished products before they're shipped.
Mattel discovered these problems when it launched an investigation of its Chinese suppliers. Nokia, the world's largest cell phone maker, is warning that up to 46 million batteries used in its phones could pose a risk of overheating. There's no recall, but concerned customers can request a replacement. In Houston today, it was hard to feel cooled, even at a cooling center.
I'm a native Houstonian, and it is getting increasingly hot.
It's brutally hot across the South. In the Memphis area, medical examiner Karen Chancellor says it's literally deadly.
We have had five heat-related fatalities within a period of only 6 days, and this is very unusual. For comparison, we only had two deaths the entire summer season last year that were related to heat.
The hot sun buckled roads in Mississippi. Forecasters say the heat wave will persist all week. The stock market got spooked again today. The Dow dropped 207 points, closing at 13,028, after Walmart lowered its profit outlook. Its customers are getting squeezed by high energy prices. But Eugene Peroni of Advisors Asset Management says almost anything can start a slide these days.
I think that this really has to do more with the emotions of uncertainty than it has to do with really practical economics at this point.
The broader market was also lower. The S&P 500 lost 23 points. When former House Speaker Dennis Hastert makes a speech in his Illinois district Friday, he's expected to announce plans to retire. Hastert is 65. He was forced to step down when Democrats won a majority of the House in last year's elections. He decided not to run for minority leader. Don Imus, who sued CBS for $120 million after he was fired in April, has reached a settlement with the company, terms not disclosed. Reportedly, he's in talks with other broadcasters about a possible comeback. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold. In his weekly appearance, he's the investigative reporter and senior editor at truthout.org. He's been all over the Karl Rove situation for many years now. We'll talk about Rove's resignation and whether that means it'll be easier or harder to chase him for various misdeeds, including the U.S. attorney's cases and the use of those off-site email accounts. There are other issues, too, but that's what we'll talk about. And next hour, Melanie Sloan returns. She's executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She'll give us a legal view on the executive privilege skirmish and also wants to talk about Ted Stevens, the one of the longest-serving members of the United States Senate, Republican from Alaska, and he's knee-deep in the doo-doo these days. Somebody remodeled his house, and, well, we'll get the details from Melanie coming up. And a couple of quick programming notes. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, part of our program will be preempted in Eureka due to Giants baseball. And tomorrow night, 9 to midnight Pacific time, I will be broadcasting on Air America Coast to Coast, sitting in for John Elliott. That's Wednesday night, 9 to midnight Pacific. Mark Crispin Miller from New York University has been a regular guest on our program, and I'm on his email listserv. He does a great job of passing information around. And today I was alarmed to see a post from him that there is a plan at the Justice Department in Washington to further enhance the discretionary powers of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and, of course, his successors. And it's of grave concern to me, because the proposal is that Gonzalez would be able to fast-track executions, not at the federal level, but at the state level. And I find this troubling on a number of fronts because, fundamentally, I'm opposed to capital punishment. And we saw that Bush and Gonzalez presided over an incredible trail of death in the state of Texas. I believe it was over 145 executions occurred during the Bush gubernatorial reign there. And Gonzalez, of course, was a counselor to Bush and was the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court for a part of that time. To get comment, we turn to David Elliott. He is with the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty. David, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I want to direct people to your website. It's easy, ncadp.org, National Coalition Abolish Death Penalty, ncadp.org. So when did you first learn of this plan to enhance, as I say, the discretionary power of the Attorney General?
Well, you know, this was a provision that was very quietly slipped into the Patriot Act, which the Republican-led Congress last fall reauthorized. And we were aware of it at the time, and we've been monitoring it ever since. And now we're kind of on a fast track, no pun intended, you know, when it comes to the death penalty and executions. And it looks like these new regulations might take effect as early as next month. And we're very concerned. This is a classic example of the fox guarding the hen house. You've got a very pro-death penalty attorney general who is going to be able to make it so that states such as California, which has the largest death row in the U.S., are able to execute prison inmates more quickly. And why is this a problem? It means if you speed it, it's a problem because if you speed up the process, you invariably will end up executing innocent people who have very important appeals shortcutted, shortchanged, and they're not able to pursue them the way that they need to be.
Well, and we have the recent example, of course, of the corrupt governor of Illinois who correctly noted that his death row was loaded with innocent men. And he outright commuted many of the sentences. He pardoned a few. And it set, I think, an important example that unfortunately hasn't been picked up by most governors. But we've also seen moratoria. That's the plural, right, of a moratorium?
That's correct.
In Florida, none other than Jeb Bush imposed a moratorium for about 6 or 8 months. And here in California, a federal judge has imposed a moratorium on Arnold Schwarzenegger's ability to execute inmates because of serious questions about the use of lethal injection and whether, in fact, it is a painless way to end someone's life. So there are many different ways that the death penalty issues are being handled these days. But the trend is very much against support for capital punishment. Is it not, David?
Oh, absolutely. Across the country, the execution rate is down. The number of death sentences that are being handed down each year is down sharply, about 50% when you compare this year, last year, with the late 1990s. Support for capital punishment is down across the board. And, you know, people are becoming more aware of the innocence issue, the number of innocent people that are being sent to death row. And I want to throw a statistic out at you, if I may.
Sure.
We have had 124 people since 1976 sentenced to death, only to later learn that we made a mistake and we had to free them because they were, in fact, innocent. Now, those 124 people spent an average of 8.5 years on death row. There is one guy who's on my organization's board of directors. His name's Juan Melendez. He was on death row in Florida. He spent 17 years on death row before his innocence was proven. Now,
and I'll just add, David, that the state of Texas has the most draconian appeals process so that an inmate who is sentenced to death has 30 days from the time of that sentencing to bring forward new information that would undermine the conviction or exonerate him. And after 30 days, it's SOL. You are out of luck.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I was a reporter in Texas covering the death penalty system. In fact, I witnessed an execution there. I was a reporter for the Austin American Statesman and wrote extensively about the state's death penalty system, and it is collapsing under, you know, a pile of biases, blunders, and bureaucracies. You know, biases because it discriminates on the basis of race and class. Blunders because it's making mistakes in terms of sending innocent people to death. Bureaucracies because nobody can figure the appellate process out. But I want to go back to this figure, the average amount of time, 8.5 years, that innocent people spend on death row before they are exonerated. The reason that that figure is important is that if the Bush administration has its way, if Alberto Gonzalez has his way, people will be executed inside of that 8.5 year statistic. In other words, inside of the average amount of time it takes these people to prove their innocence. So we will invariably increase the number of innocent people we are executing if this proposal is actually enacted.
Yeah. And I do understand that people who support capital punishment feel that the process is, incredibly time-consuming. In California, it takes an average of 20 years to exhaust all appeals and stage an execution. And as you know, I don't support that, but I understand their frustration, and particularly the way we have pandered to victims and survivors of grueling crime. We try to convey to them that a swift execution is going to give them the resolution and closure that they seek. And it's an empty promise. And it's even in cases, you know, where they do succeed in speeding up the process, that closure in most cases never comes.
Well, you know, when you lose a loved one under any circumstance, whether it's to violent crime or to a heart attack, or I just lost a loved one to cancer, you're never able to, replace that empty chair at the table. You're never able to bring the person back. So there really isn't closure. There is healing. Healing is possible, and it's a tough process. Healing is not facilitated by the up and down, topsy-turvy, roller coaster ride that we call the death penalty appeal system in the United States. So some people say, why not just speed it up? Why not say, okay, you've got 5 years, you've got 3 years, you know, to make your case. If you can't make it, we're going to execute you. Well, it goes back to innocence, you know. This is, you know, every Sunday I watch NFL football, and I'm glad that football season is coming around again. And they, in the NFL, they've got instant replay. If an official blows a call, they can go back, they can review it, they can reverse it. But when it comes to the death penalty, there aren't any do-overs. You know, you can't un-execute someone. You can't unring that bell once it's been rung.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue. David Elliott is with us from the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty, and I want to direct you again to their website, ncadp.org. And right there on the homepage is a link to the Los Angeles Times article published today, August 14th, under the byline of Richard Schmidt, talking about this little-known element of the Patriot Act and the desire of Alberto Gonzalez to exercise this newly authorized way of going around the states. We'll talk about the mechanism they're using when we return with David Elliott. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a little traffic on this Tuesday and you all be up to date details on what's going on. Well, let's see. We are going to look at a problem right now. It is in, Monterey, northbound 1 before Camino Aguieto. It's a pickup truck in it, with a trailer. And there's some, looks like the vehicle went into the bushes. See on the right shoulder, CHP is on the scene there. Salinas, south 101 at Somavia. It's a big rig. Lost a load of boxes in the right lane. Now, crews are on the scene, and they are clearing the mess right now. Traffic is slow from just about Spence Road. Soledad, northbound 101 before Campo Oria, Gloria. We do have a solo vehicle that hit a fence on the right shoulder. Pacific Grove is Highway 68 at Morse. We have an accident. Three vehicles in the right shoulder. And northbound 1 at Munress, there's an accident. Left lane, five vehicles involved. A support brought to you by Mancini Sleep World.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 22 minutes past the hour. We're talking about the death penalty. We're talking about Alberto Gonzalez's effort to speed up the process in an arbitrary and what I consider a rather capricious way. And before we return to that discussion, I just want to recommend to you, I can't tell you the date, but a recent issue of The New Yorker included a lengthy article, A Letter from San Quentin. And as you may know, over the last 20 years, I've spent a lot of time at San Quentin. I like to point out they've never asked me to spend the night there. But I have advocated on behalf of life prisoners and those who are innocent of the charges that took them to prison. And one of the people I interacted with over the years many times is a guy named Vernell Crittenden. And Vernell, Critter, as he's known by the inmates, was nominally the public information officer at San Quentin. But he essentially was the guy who orchestrated every execution that has occurred there since 1991. And he was doing this under nine different wardens as the helm changed hands there many times at San Quentin. And it's a fascinating piece because it talks about how he navigated the waters between really dealing with the inmates and their families as they were preparing for execution and dealing with the survivors of the victims of the crime in question. And in particular, it goes into great detail about the way Crittenden went public with a lot of nasty negatives about Tookie Williams, Stanley Williams, in the weeks before he was executed. And I think that the implication is that Crittenden feels some shame for that, but he does argue that he was doing what his supervisors told him to do. So I recommend that to you if you're interested in these issues. David Elliott continues with us from the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty. And David, digging into this L.A. Times article today, it's kind of twisted. What the Patriot Act says is that the Attorney General can fast-track an execution by certifying that the appeals process and representation for the inmate has been adequate. And just in California alone, the appellate project, which assigns attorneys to represent death row inmates in their appeals, is deeply underfunded and attracts people who don't do it for the money. And in some cases, that's good, but not always. And these attorneys are overworked, underpaid, and often don't have a very strong relationship with the clients whose lives are on the line. So for the attorney general remotely to say, oh, yeah, that inmate, he's had plenty of legal counsel, he's had plenty of appeals, let's snuff him. This is really absurd and disgusting.
Well, you know, there's not a single state out there, Peter, with the death penalty that's providing adequate legal representation during the appellate process. And the problem now, and, you know, I said before that this is a classic example of the fox guarding the hen house, and I mean that. The problem now is you've got a very pro-prosecution attorney general, someone with a horrific record on the death penalty,
yep,
very pro-death penalty. You've got him making a decision that used to be up to the federal courts, who at least were a little bit more objective. And you don't want any attorney general, be it from a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, to be making this kind of decision. The Attorney General's office is pro-prosecution in nature, and unfortunately, you know, it's going to be a whitewash. I mean, it's going to be, I doubt that we're going to see Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez turning down many states when they make their request to expedite appeals and hurry up the execution process. And the bottom line at the end of the day is this: more innocent people will be executed.
Yeah. And it's really shameful because, you know, I can respect people who honestly believe, either based on biblical teaching or just their own moral code, that in certain cases it's right for the state to take a life. I can't believe that even those people want it so badly that they want to speed up the process and, as you point out, shorten it beyond the average length of time it has taken to discover the innocence of a death row inmate. And so this is really political pandering to try to show that they're tough on crime and to try to tickle the political bases that support the death penalty in a kind of blind and unthinking way.
Well, Peter, here's what's ironic, and here's the paradox. Let's pretend for a minute that I'm pro-death penalty. I'm not, you know, as the name of my organization implies, I'm totally against the death penalty, but let's just pretend that I favor it. Politically, the last thing I would ever want would be for an innocent person to be executed, because that's the way that the death penalty is going to go away in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, we're now starting to find out that innocent people have in fact been executed, people like Ruben Cantu of Texas, Carlos de Luna of Texas, Cameron Todd Willingham of Texas, Larry Griffin of Missouri. And the more that Americans find out that innocent people are being executed, the more they're going to turn against the system. So if I'm pro-death penalty and I want to defend the death penalty system, This type of rule that's been proposed is the very last thing that I want.
David,
very
I thank you for your work, and thanks for joining us today on short notice to talk about this breaking story.
Well, you have us anytime. We thank you for having us on tonight.
David Elliott, the National Campaign to Abolish the Death Penalty, NCADP.org. Jason Leopold coming up next on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. For 12 years now, the University of Michigan has produced an annual index of American customer satisfaction with the cars we've bought. And American car makers have not always been pleased with the results. This year's survey notes, though, that Japanese and Korean automakers have seen their largest drop in customer satisfaction since 1996. Toyota's cars dropped 4% in customer satisfaction, while U.S. manufacturers are now closing the gap.
Detroit is edging closer to the Japanese and the Koreans, and there's still a gap to the Europeans.
Klaus Fornell heads the University of Michigan Customer Satisfaction Index.
Detroit improves, Toyota falls, and the question is, what's going on here?
We'll address that question after this.
Guys, are you doing the erectile dysfunction two-step? You know, excuses like, I don't have ED, I'm just tired. Even if it only happens once in a while, it could still be ED. But Viagra, also called sildenafil citrate, can help. It's already helped more than 17 million of us. Ask your doctor about Viagra, America's most prescribed ED treatment. And before you know it, you'll be singing a different tune. Viva!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Overall, customer satisfaction with the cars we buy in this country is higher now than ever. The University of Michigan index is up 1.2% over last year to 82 out of a possible 100. And despite the 4% satisfaction drop for Toyota, their Lexus is still the top-performing brand with a score of 86. The foreign makers are still ahead of American cars overall, but there's a distinct improvement in satisfaction for the American cars, and Detroit definitely seems to be doing something right, says Klaus Fornell.
It used to be that when Detroit improved customer satisfaction, most of that was due to price discounting and rebates. This time, most of the satisfaction increase comes from improved quality. And that is probably a much more sustainable path for Detroit to be on.
The Asians sure are selling a lot of cars here. Are they now doing something wrong? And what would that be?
It may well be a version of what goes up must come down. They've been at the lead for a long time, and they have increased both market share and sales quite dramatically.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
find a rock band.
We go along.
Where the lead singer, the front man, is also the bass player. This one's Michael Bean and The Call.
I've been in the cave for 40 days. Only a spark to light my way. I want to give out. I want to give in. This is our crime. This is our sin. But I still believe. I still believe. Through the pain and through the grief, through the lies, through the storms, through the cries, and through the wars. Oh, I still believe.
We'll dedicate this one to Karl Rove. He's left the building, but he's still a neocon true believer. And I think Bush is drinking that Kool-Aid, too. One of our most fervent Rove watchers joins us now, Jason Leopold, senior editor and investigative reporter at truthout.org, author of his own memoir, News Junkie, and a regular contributor to this show. Jason, how you doing?
How are you, Peter? It's good to be back with you. We missed you.
Well, I'm glad to talk with you again. It was nice to unplug and get away, and you just told me before you came on you're going to do the same for a couple of weeks.
I'm going to try.
You've earned it. Now, is this in relation to kind of the completion of a chapter? You think with Turd Blossom safely back in Texas, you can take some time off?
You know, that's... I didn't time it that way, but it certainly seems to be working out. You know, safely tucked away in Texas, I'm not really convinced of that yet. You know, I think it's more like fleeing to Texas.
Well, they have extradition there, don't they?
Yeah. You know, I know that they have their own power grid there, but I'm not sure if they, you know, also have their own separate laws and... And you can basically do what you want.
Right. Well, you know, this is an aside, but Karl Rove is responsible for electing virtually all of the members of the Texas Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So he might get a little sanctuary there.
Yeah, I think he certainly will enjoy safety, if you will.
Yeah. So were you surprised, Jason?
Oh, my God, yes, absolutely. It was a huge surprise. You know, Karl Rove clearly... anyone who has been following him and his career and his work closely, would know that this is someone who has stuck it out until the end, no matter where, you know, who he's worked with, what campaign he's worked with. Obviously, this is the first his first job in a presidential administration, but the fact that he... You know, it's not staying until the end of 2008, early 2009. It's just, remarkable and begs some questions.
You lefties read so much into this. He wants to spend more time. He wants to spend more time with Darby and Andrew.
Right. His son who's in college, who, you know, right.
Who won't be there.
Summer's over now. I'm assuming his son is, back to school.
Well, he's going to help him pack. And also because Joshua Bolton said that anybody who's here after Labor Day has to promise to stay until January of 2009.
Yeah, right. You have to. Handcuffed. If you leave, we will, punish you severely. You know, apparently there is no free will there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that the way that this unfolded, and certainly... You know, I know that I'm not the only one that has been, you know, sort of looking into this to even consider whether there's another possibility. The one thing I will say is that, you know, I will not believe anything that comes out of Karl Rove's mouth. I think that he has a very long history of not telling the truth. And I think that... if he says that it's it's sunny outside, you know, you make sure you check the weather to be sure it's not raining or bring a coat with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it seemed too perfect the way that this came down, the meeting with the Wall Street Journal, the fact that it was tucked away inside the Wall Street Journal. It all seemed to demonstrate that it was not the fact that this wasn't on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And I could tell you, having worked there. This is not a story that you know, the Wall Street Journal happens to be very good with news.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they sat down with the editorial editor over there, when it comes to serious news, they'll put it on the front page, and they'll, you know, hold the presses even to make sure that gets out there.
And Murdoch is not actively in charge yet, is he?
No, not at all. Exactly.
Just checking. I was going.
You know, there's something very, you know, peculiar about the way that this was tucked away inside, you know, the inside the paper, a small little box on top of the page. I mean, it just seems like it was very much, you know, coordinated and planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing that we have to remember. Karl Rove is still under,
a cloud.
Suspicion.
He's under a cloud at
the
minimum.
Under a cloud, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I need to remind people that there's actually, you know, having spoken and checking in regularly with, you know, some of these U.S. attorneys who have been fired, they all have been interviewed by the Department of Justice Inspector General, the Office of Special Counsel at the White House, and while I don't have, you know, much faith in their efforts or what they'll produce, they do. The U.S. attorneys do, and they, you know, I had a conversation with David Iglesias a couple of weeks ago, and he believes that, you know, based on the questions that he was asked and based on the information that he has learned in these closed-door interviews, that you know, there are going to be a number of White House officials that, you know, at least will come under some sort of scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he certainly didn't, you know, say that any crimes were broken, but I'm sorry, any laws were broken, but, you know, they do believe that, you know, people in Karl Rove's office and perhaps even Karl Rove will be criticized, you know, for lack of a better word.
Right. Now, Jason, let me ask you to react to this, because you and I have talked about this on an ongoing basis, and as the U.S. attorney scandal unfolded, its connections to Rove are clear enough to us.
Right.
And I say that not that we have evidence that, you know, might stand up in a court of law, but there is enough information there to lead to a thorough investigation.
Right.
And one of the thoughts I've had is that Bush has kept Alberto Gonzalez on the job in part to protect Rove.
Right.
Because it is the communication really between the Justice Department and Rove that is being held back by the White House despite the subpoenas. And they're playing games, of course, with the emails that were sent and received on the Republican National Committee and Bush presidential campaign servers. And so if they spent so much in various types of capital to keep Rove through the Libby leak case, through the trial, through the conviction, through the pardon, I'm sorry, the commutation, why now?
And
what does it mean for Gonzalez?
Yeah. I have to say, I think it's really, really difficult to, to speculate on that. I think that the evidence, at least what we know so far, certainly points to Karl Rove. I think that the U.S. Attorneys, who, let's not forget, these are career prosecutors. Their job is to investigate. They've been able to put together, the evidence that's in the, in the public domain, if you will, so far, and they also come to the same conclusions, despite the fact that they're close to it. I think that, it's the timing of it certainly seems to be planned. Obviously, it's the summer. Congress is gone. There aren't many people, not as many readers, if you will, out
mm-hmm.
there. This is the time when people, take their summer breaks. And it's the impact would obviously be lessened by the fact that it comes out now. I really just think it's hard to, to predict or to even, look that far down the road as to how this would actually affect Gonzalez at all, if it even will. I mean, this White House certainly and this administration has certainly been successful in thwarting, oversight and investigations and really getting away with, high crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do really feel strongly, though, that there is something more here that is that does not amount to Karl Rove wanting to spend time with his family. I'm I'm surprised that they actually want to spend time with him. You know, I've got to be honest with you. I can't imagine what it's like to be Karl Rove's son or wife. You know, wow. I mean, this guy. You know, if he has an alter ego, I certainly, for their sake, hope that it reveals itself. Or rears itself, if you will.
Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. His latest article posted today at Truthout. RNC now seeks shelter of executive privilege. Now, this is a critical issue. We're going to talk a little more about this with Melanie Sloan next hour. But by allowing Rove to resign at this time, I think it compounds the efforts to maintain an argument for executive privilege that is expansive to begin with, particularly when it expands beyond White House emails to include the RNC emails, when it expands beyond current White House officials to former officials like Rove and Myers.
Right.
So what's your view on the status of this battle over executive privilege?
Well, you know, again, I think that... It's pretty unbelievable and remarkable that there hasn't been any decision on executive privilege here yet in this particular case with the RNC. What's fascinating is that the RNC said we're not going to turn this over until we wait for the White House to make a decision on executive privilege. And to me that just seems to suggest that they're hoping that the White House rules in their favor. And probably will. I think that the RNC is basically making it up as it goes along. Mm-hmm. That letter that the attorney retained by the committee sent to John Conyers on Friday is just there's really little case law in there, and they even say that there's very little case law to back up our position. They actually say that in the letter, but they're simply just saying, well, the White House told us not to, and so we're not going to do it. President says it's okay. It's just unbelievable. And the fact that they, can get away with it even this far because they've passed the deadline when they were supposed to turn things over, and the White House was supposed to make some sort of a decision, I think is troubling. People should, really try to get in touch with members of Congress to pursue it further.
Now, you're referring to an exchange of correspondence between Congressman Conyers, head of the House Judiciary Committee, and Robert Kellner, an attorney representing the RNC. And they are duking it out over Category 2 documents. What's
right.
that Category 2?
Category 2 documents, or at least what they're... what they're saying in this letter, this I should say that Conyers had sent a letter on August 2nd to the RNC requesting these so-called, Category 2 documents, which he says amounts to hundreds of pages related to communications with or among White House officials concerning, individuals who were up for U.S. attorney positions in various parts of the country. Specifically the Central District of California, the Middle District of Tennessee, and the District of Montana. So Conyers wants the RNC to turn over, the correspondence, if there is any, which he says, again, he has found that there are hundreds of pages, and, find out whether how involved the White House and the RNC was in looking for candidates. Now, people may say, well, of course, that's the president's prerogative, his position. But what Conyers is saying is that the president cannot just pick and people and install them based on partisan politics.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually saying that the president can nominate someone, and then it's up to Congress to confirm
right.
That position. And I according to Conyers' office, Conyers believes that the president and his staff were trying to just circumvent that. And this all involves, the provision that was in the Patriot Act, which said that, or at the time, which allowed certain people to have interim
The interim appointment without Senate
exactly.
confirmation. We'll take a break and return with Jason Leopold. You got a question or comment? Don't keep it to yourself. Give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest on this Tuesday. Let's cruise right on over to Monterey Highway 1, right at Mundris. An injury crash with multiple vehicles, five to be exact, are blocking the left lane. Traffic very heavy approaching the scene. Carmel, Sierra Avenue, Carpenter Street, we have a disabled vehicle. One of the lanes is blocked. Don't have an indication of which lane it actually is. In Pacific Grove and Highway 68 at Morse, drive injury crash, three vehicles with, again, injuries. Fire department on scene, everything off to the right-hand shoulder at this point. Also, Salinas southbound 101 at Samavia, a big rig lost a load of boxes in the right lane. We have crews clearing the scene. Traffic is slow from Spence Road. This report brought to you by Sears Auto Center. For a limited time, get $20 or a $40 Visa cash card with the purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins, offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
On the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt, let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning.
I'm Peter B. with Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org, and Jason, playing a little catch-up here. I was stunned as I caught snippets of the news on the Internet occasionally and through the International Herald Tribune that the Democrats, over the course of a weekend, were slammed into, and you know, I can't portray them as victims because, you know, they've seen this MO before where the Bush administration plays up the fear and then rams through some bad legislation. And people thought that in the heat of the fall campaign last year, the Military Commissions Act was an anomaly.
Right.
But we saw them do it again, and the Democrats permitted it. And I'm livid about this. I just think this is one of the biggest encroachments on our civil liberties without any justification, and that the Congress has papered over the intentional law-breaking of this administration.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And I think you should really pay attention to first of all, actually, Matt Renner came out with a fantastic piece, sort of providing a real backstory into the specific Democrats, the so-called blue dog Democrats that voted for this.
Yeah, we cited his story yesterday. 76% of the blue dogs voted for this piece of crap, and they claim that it was not a directed or concerted effort by the Blue Dog Caucus.
Well, I think that the facts contradict that. What's also in our state here, California, Dianne Feinstein in the Senate voted for this.
Well, she's been eager to paper this over from the beginning.
Actually, yes and no. She had worked along with Arlen Specter a year ago, coming out with proposals, some legislation, draft legislation, that would at least keep oversight of this entirely in the hands of the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Court. What Feinstein has actually done in the past couple of weeks, and it's sort of important to pay close attention to it, is that she has, I guess you could call it, just trading some favors with Republicans. She has actually coming out, when we see Congress and the Senate return in September, she's going to lend her support and her vote to one of the conservative judges, and in exchange for having some of her pet projects supported by Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues that really we haven't seen, reported on extensively since this has all gone down is, the sort of quid pro quo that has, that has gone on. And people like Dianne Feinstein, who have taken a particular position and spoken out against, giving certainly Alberto Gonzalez, extraordinary authority, and the White House even more spying power. But the fact that she went along with this, and behind the scenes, she's actually, the judge that she's supporting, it's a woman who's, forgive me, her name escapes me, her first name's Linda, but it is something that, really should pay close attention to.
Here's what I have to say to Dianne Feinstein. If you're going to do horse trading, and I understand that that goes on. I'm not naive about that.
Yeah.
Horse trade for something of value. Tell them you'll vote for this piece of crap the day after Alberto Gonzalez resigns as Attorney General.
Right.
That's the deal to make, not some deal to trade our civil liberties for some right-wing judicial nominee for life.
Well, it's funny because they did it. They passed this, and they left town. They really, left Dodge.
And they claim they're going to fix it later. It's got a 6-month sunset, but I don't believe that.
It's got a 6-month sunset, but here's the again the fine print. If there are current cases in play, or if there are specific cases in which they've already started the surveillance, those continue.
Yeah.
We're talking about those get to keep going, and we also have to remember, there is no oversight. The only thing that we have to go on here is that Alberto Gonzalez, if you can believe it, is the one who has, the final say, along with Mike McConnell, the Director of National Intelligence.
Yeah.
Basically, it's, trust us. The FISA court can look at this, but only 120 days after it's already started.
And Jason, I was suspicious when they announced in January that they had found a way, and they never described it or defined it, to submit this to the FISA court. And that was a trap, because that was the maneuver that led McConnell to go around saying, oh gosh, intercepts are down by 75%. We can't continue with this cumbersome law.
Right. Well, here's another thing. What's really great is there's actually a report that's public. People haven't really seen it. That whole idea that the New York Times reported, if they're talking about intercepts being down 75% or the ones that the NSA does, there's a problem with that, because in 2005 there were 2,040 or 2,140 warrants that the FISA court issued.
Right.
In 2006, that was 2,281. The number actually went up. They actually received, they actually asked for more warrants.
Hey, don't confuse me with the facts, please. You know, they had
sorry,
a really good
Peter,
argument.
You know.
They arm-twisted the Democrats. Well, Jason, thanks for filling in some of the details there. I appreciate it. We'll
My
talk
pleasure.
Again after your vacation. Enjoy yourself.
I look forward to it. Thanks very much,
All
Peter.
Right. Jason Leopold, read him at truthout.org. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan and the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. There are conflicting casualty counts, but by any measure, there's been a terrible series of suicide bombings in northern Iraq. The Iraqi army says there were four simultaneous attacks and at least 175 people were killed. The U.S. military puts the death toll at 30. CBS News reporter Phil Itner in Baghdad tells us the target was a religious sect called the Yazidis.
It appears as though they were targeted in Mosul. This is a Kurdish group that follows a pretty obscure religion, and it's just another example of the many minority groups that make up Iraq, and the smaller the group, the more vulnerable they are, and the more of a focus point it can be for various insurgent or terrorist groups.
Some Muslims consider the Yazidis infidels. Five American troops died today in the crash of a Chinook helicopter west of Baghdad. That brings the U.S. death toll in the past 2 days to at least nine. In Huntington, Utah today,
here comes another ram car.
A video tour of the Crandall Canyon coal mine conducted by co-owner Bob Murray. He was showing how difficult it is to reach those six trapped miners underground. From above, a third hole is being drilled. There are plans for a fourth, but after that, says Murray, we're running out of possibilities. The polls just closed in an Alabama town where the citizens voted on a prohibition proposal. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes has the story.
Even today, some cities and towns decide to go dry. Northern Alabama, the voters' decision today in the town of Athens, whether to chase alcohol out of the city limits. Teresa Thomas supports the idea for religious reasons.
It can cause people to lose their souls, and I know there are lots of things in the world that do, but we have the opportunity to get rid of something that does.
Some people say alcohol brings nothing but trouble. Drunk driving, fights, trouble at home. The other side says adults ought to be able to make their own decisions and get adult beverages in their own hometown. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
As the New York Yankees opened a home game against the Baltimore Orioles, a tribute to Phil Rizzuto.
Scooters, we shall miss you.
That's longtime Yankees announcer Bob Shepard. Rizzuto, a Hall of Fame shortstop who later broadcast Yankee games, died at 89. Class was in session today for teacher astronaut Barbara Morgan.
She taught in Idaho for more than 20 years, but never like this.
I'm Bob Morgan, and we are ready for your first question. Welcome aboard the International Space Station.
And like good students, the kids in Boise had a greeting and questions.
Hi, I'm Sarah Avery. If you threw a baseball in space, how fast did it go?
Sometimes they were answered with questions.
If you could throw a baseball in space, just how slow could you throw it?
Her crewmate Clay Anderson let loose a slow floater. He also caught it. You can do that in space. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Another bad day in the market. The Dow lost 207 points, closing at 13,028. This is CBS News.
want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at 9:59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
President Bush isn't running next year, but he's the target of a new TV ad the Hillary Clinton campaign is running in Iowa.
You know, if you're a family that is struggling and you don't have health care, well, you are invisible to this president.
That brings a howl of protest from the Bush ranch. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is there.
Though the White House wants to stay out of the presidential campaign, spokeswoman Dana Perino denounced as outrageous a charge by Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton that people without health care coverage are invisible to President Bush. In a new campaign ad, Clinton also says that U.S. soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan are treated as though they're invisible as well. Perino called that absurd, and she said it's unconscionable that a member of Congress would say such a thing. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Crawford, Texas.
The Clinton campaign has posted the White House statement on its website, boasting that the ad struck a nerve. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at 9:59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And we roll into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. The free speech zone is on deck. You can grab a line and we'll talk about your issues. You can call about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And we actually pay for the call. I write the check myself every month. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But first, expert commentary and some fresh information on corruption in Washington. Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, returns to our program today. Hello, Melanie.
Hey, Peter. Welcome back from vacation.
Well, thank you. I had a great time, and it's nice to talk with you again. And I caught your appearance on Hardball last night.
Well, just because you go away doesn't mean corruption ends.
Well, there were a few surprises for me as I returned to reality. I do want to commend you for a great job last night. You had a disadvantage because Chris Matthews was kissing up to your opponent in the Hardball debate. Joe DeGeneva, is that his name?
Yes, it is. And I have to tell you that I'm on Hardball a fair amount, and I find that Chris Matthews is frequently much friendlier to my opponent, whoever he may be, usually an older white man.
Yes, indeed. And it really reminds me of a bit from The Daily Show. And it was sometime last week. I'm confused because I use TiVo, and I don't remember exactly which show it was. But Jon Stewart was really ripping up Neil Cavuto from Fox News, who had gotten an exclusive interview with the president and was just gushing all over him with softball questions and suck-up kind of questions. And at one point, Stewart interrupts this the footage to imitate Cavuto and say, "Mr. President, can I lick you?" And at the end of your segment last night, Chris Matthews just about mimicked that with DeGeneva. He said, talking about how much he likes him, and he didn't have the same affection for you, unfortunately.
No, and that is also mirrored every time I'm on the show before we start talking, while Chris Matthews talks at great length to whoever I'm on with and ignores me completely. It is very much a good old boys network, and I am not part. I am crashing their party when I'm there.
Well, I want you to know you look great when you do that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's not the most fun thing I do.
But Kathy wanted me to ask where you get your power suits.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't expecting to be on yesterday, and that was just an orange sweater set that my mother made fun of me for wearing later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I liked it.
No suit at all.
Well, it really, I think it cut well on my color TV. So.
Oh, well, that's so nice to hear. Thank you.
Tell your mom. I thought it.
I will.
I thought it worked. Well, let's get to the substance of what you were talking about, which is DeGeneva made the astounding claim, and you attempted to refute it before Matthews cut you off. But he said there isn't one iota of evidence that Karl Rove has broken the law. And I was frankly floored by that.
Because there is, in fact, so much evidence that Karl Rove has broken not one law, but many laws. And we can start with the fact that he is the very first person in the White House who leaks Valerie Plame's identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Then he's misusing his RNC email account to avoiding using the official White House email system so that his emails aren't saved. There he's breaking the Presidential Records Act. Then there's the matter of the U.S. attorneys, where he is involved in ensuring that U.S. attorneys are fired because they are refusing to bring completely partisan cases right before the elections at the behest of Republican members of Congress. So that might be obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the political briefings that he is forcing career people in the all over the government, in over 20 government agencies, to engage in political briefings to talk about how they can help the Republicans in the midterm elections. That would be a violation of the Hatch Act.
There's also a misdemeanor charge of PowerPoint abuse in those sessions, too.
You know, I am sure there are many other charges that I haven't even begun to think of yet.
Mm-hmm. So are you surprised at the timing of this Rove resignation?
You know, I'm a little surprised that he didn't stick it out till the end, but by the same token, it's clear that the Bush administration is on the wane. There's nothing else the Bush administration can possibly accomplish. And Karl Rove isn't even every Republican's favorite guy anymore, because he's the one who said he was going to give them a permanent Republican majority. And I was particularly enjoying that today the cover of The Economist says, "Is America permanently to the left?"
Well, and I'm really sinking to a new low here, to quote Michelle Malkin. But to hear her go on the offensive against Rove was kind of satisfying.
You know, it's amazing how many Republicans are coming out against Rove now and have nothing nice to say. So it's not just Democrats. Now, the one question that people keep asking is, does this change the political calculus? Will Rove be more likely to testify before Congress on all of these many scandals? And the fact of the matter is, I think not. Just like we've been talking in the past about how the White House is refusing to let Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel, testify and claiming executive privilege for that, they'll claim exactly the same thing about Karl Rove. So that's still going to be teed up as a potential court battle. The White House is not about to let Karl Rove start spilling all the dirt under oath in front of Congress.
Well, give me, because of your legal expertise and my lack of it, please give me your sense of the extent to which Rove's exiting the White House weakens their defense, both in terms of his executive privilege immunity from testifying and their efforts to stonewall the emails and other paper trails that would give us much more information about the various issues you raised.
Well, it doesn't prevent them from getting paper trail as long as it's not about direct communications with the president. The presidential executive privilege protects communications between top staff and the president under the theory that, and this is a legitimate theory, that the president won't be able to get free advice from his counselors will be hesitant to give advice if everything they say can then come out. So that privilege exists even beyond somebody leaving the White House. Because it's about things that that person said to the president while they were in the White House. Now, the matter of paper records is an entirely different matter, and as long as that wasn't paper that was directed toward the president, that shouldn't be protected by executive privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an area of the law that is not entirely clear. The rules are not clearly set forth, and it's very hard to know how the courts will rule on this. These kind of questions generally, there are not a lot of occasion for them. For example, there haven't been court showdowns between Congress and the White House. That never actually gets to court for there to be a ruling.
Mm-hmm. And so invoking the great phrase of Kyle Sampson, one of the people who exited the Justice Department in this scandal, his proposal was that we gum it to death and run out the clock.
Which is, of course, what they've been doing all along and what Fred Fielding has been brought in to do. Fred Fielding is no stranger to these executive privilege arguments. He was in the Reagan White House at the time that we came closest to actually having one of these things reach the pinnacle that it is now, which was with EPA Administrator Ann Gorsuch, who refused to hand over documents relating to Superfund at Reagan's behest. And that actually did end up in court, and the court said, oh, you two figure it out yourselves, work it out, we don't want to be party to this.
Yeah.
But that was Fred Fielding's doing, so he's got experience with this, and he's clearly trying to gum it up and run out the clock.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about Rove? I want to move on to Ted Stevens.
No, Ted, I love the talk about Ted Stevens.
Okay.
Let's please move on to Ted Stevens.
Enough about Rove.
Let me just tell you that with Ted Stevens now, we have the entire Alaska delegation in serious trouble and potentially under criminal investigation. So that's just an added bonus point.
Well, what's going on with Ms. Murkowski, Lisa Murkowski?
Well, Lisa Murkowski has a land deal that's very suspect. She bought a piece of property from a well-known Republican contributor named Bob Penny at a substantially below the rate, which is a violation of the gift rule, and then she failed to disclose both her mortgage and the transaction on her financial disclosure forms, which could be a criminal violation.
Oh, oops.
Young, the congressman from Alaska, and right. Ted Stevens are both involved in this growing scandal involving an oil company called Vico. Vico's run by a guy named Bill Allen, who has since pleaded guilty to a large number of crimes and is cooperating with the government. He and his oil company were responsible for handling the renovations on Ted Stevens' house. When was the last time you knew of an oil company who was handling the renovations on somebody's house? It's an unusual choice. But in any event, many people are cooperating in this, and they have said that Bill Allen told the contractor to send him the bills for Ted Stevens' construction.
Mm-hmm.
Stevens is insisting that he paid any bills that he received. Notable, any bills that he received.
Right.
And he paid them all with brand new checks on a new account. Also strange.
Mm-hmm.
So federal investigators raided Ted Stevens' house in Alaska, and apparently so did IRS agents, so they are hot on his trail. And let me just assure you and all of your listeners that it takes a lot before you're going to get a judge to issue a warrant to search a senator's house.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of evidence before you go in there.
And so Ted Stevens has done the right thing and stepped down from his powerful committee posts?
Surely you jest. Of course not. We asked right away that he step down from his position on Appropriations Committee, where he oversees the budget of the Justice Department, which is investigating him. Ted Stevens, known to be a vindictive guy, not above trying to decimate justice's budget. And not only does Ted Stevens refuse to do it, but guess who comes to his defense? Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. Now, you might not be surprised to hear that Mitch McConnell does it, but Harry Reid and his one-vote majority actually says, let's not prejudge this.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little distressing, and it seems that all of the senators are not learning anything about corruption and what happened in the House of Representatives when the House members ignored problems over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now willy-nilly going to let the American people think they have the exact same problem. They'll ignore corruption of their own.
That's amazing. Now, quickly, Melanie, in about a minute, John Boehner apparently has stuck his foot in his mouth, and in trying to create that fear moment to force Democrats to vote for legalizing the NSA illegal wiretapping program, it appears he may have leaked classified information.
Right, so it actually worked for him. So he gets on Fox News, and in speaking to none other than Neil Cavuto, I believe it is, has an interview and says that the FISA court, this is the federal secret court, issued a decision banning certain types of wireless warrant tapping, and it is against the law to talk about any FISA court decision, but he does it on Fox News, so we filed a complaint with the Department of Justice saying that they should investigate John Boehner for leaking classified information.
Very interesting. Well, we'll follow that one closely. Thanks for all your work, Melanie, and when's your next appearance on Hardball?
You know, they only tell me that morning, so that's why I can't plan the wardrobe.
Okay. Well, thanks for your work. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
And their website, citizensforethics, citizensforethics.org. All right, we take a break and return for your phone calls. Any subject, any viewpoint, call me from anywhere you're listening to this program. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. The free speech zone is next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's fair time again, and this year we're homegrown at the Monterey County Fair. We're talking 6 big days of family-packed entertainment from Tuesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 19th. Stop by every day for free headline entertainment, including the Paul Thorne Band, War, Pam Tillis, Night Ranger, plus our homegrown band showcase featuring top local bands. Your entire family will love the free exhibits, including the Busy Bee Dogs and Hugo the One Man Band. You will love the Beer and Wine Pavilion featuring homegrown beers and wines. All this and much, much more just for $8. If you're an adult, admission for 6 to 12-year-olds is only $4, and kids under 6 get in for free. Kids' Day is Tuesday, Seniors' Day is Wednesday, and Military Appreciation Day is Thursday. From August 14th through August 19th, the fun will be at the 2007 Monterey Fair. Don't miss it. For information and to buy tickets, go online at www.montereycountyfair.com or call the fair office at 831-372-1000. That's 831-372-1000 for the homegrown Monterey County Fair.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
All right, folks, let's take a look at the latest. We are going to start off with a problem reported in Pacific Road, Highway 68, Morris Drive. There is a three-vehicle crash on the shoulder. And then we're going to start off with a Salinas, or talk about a Salinas crash we told you about. It's a South 101 at Somavia. And it is a, right shoulder three. No, they're saying this is actually, it's the big rig lost a load of boxes, and apparently they're still being reported there. They have crews on scene, and traffic is slow from just about Abbott Street. Monterey, northbound one at Munras, injury crash, very heavy traffic approaching the scene there. Five-vehicle crash in the left lane. Paramedics, fire department on the scene. Carmel, Clock Tower Place at Carmel Rancho Boulevard, left lane blocked with a car and a pickup truck. Well, this report is brought to you by Days In.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and all my lines are open. Well, there's one taken right now, but that's four lines available for you. And if you'd like to comment on our discussion earlier today about impeachment, Republican Bruce Fein was with us offering his arguments about why Pelosi should put it back on the proverbial table. We also talked about the Patriot Act renewal, which gives Alberto Gonzalez the power to speed up executions at the state level. A very disturbing development. And we talked with Jason Leopold and Melanie Sloan about Karl Rove's departure, the battle over executive privilege, and some other corruption stories with Melanie. So any of that or anything else you want to talk about is up for grabs here. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. Also, I have some information that I want to share with you and get reaction from our Eureka listeners about an incident last week in which an apparent homeless man was beaten and died in police custody. So we'll get that out in a couple of minutes. But first, John in Carmel Valley's on the line. Thanks for your call, John. You're on the air.
Peter, I talked to you a little bit before you left for Italy, and the subject was whether abortion and divorce were now legal in Italy. And mm-hmm. we also, I mentioned Spain, and I didn't know where they stood in Spain either. Those are the two really big Catholic countries in Europe.
Right.
Where do they stand? Did you find out about each of them?
I did follow up on that. Are you shocked?
No, absolutely, because
well, I went on vacation.
You're one of the best informed people I know.
Well, but when I go on vacation, I do try to actually unplug. But it's interesting. I was talking to an American who lives in Assisi, the city of St. Francis, and she is the sister-in-law of a friend of mine. And we were planning to meet, but it didn't work out, so we talked on the phone. And so I asked her about those two subjects. I said, is divorce legal in Italy? And she laughed and she said, yes, I divorced my Italian husband. Now, she did say that it is a cumbersome process. And I think what she told me was that you have to be separated for 3 years before you can file the divorce petition. But she, I think she's been divorced for about 5 years now, or at least separated for 5 years. And she said that, while it was more complicated than it would have been in the United States, that it is legal and the process did work for her. I didn't get into details. I know she has custody of the child. I don't know about spousal support or any of those issues. I also asked her about abortion. And she said that it is legal in Italy, but again, they throw up a lot of bureaucratic barriers. And so it is not nearly as easily available as it is here in the United States.
But is it that easily available here if so many women who might get it but are afraid of whatever might be the case, or doctors? Isn't it harder just because there are fewer and fewer doctors who are willing to do it?
Well,
that
is a factor, but, still in the major cities and in states that aren't in, total red control, it's essentially available on demand with, in some cases, a 24-hour waiting period.
Did you find out about Spain?
I did not. One of my brothers spent a little time in Madrid, but I did ask him about it, and he didn't know.
Spain, from what I understand, is just on the fast track away from its reactionary past And I'm really curious how far it'll go, because the last I knew anything, it was surprising me on all counts. So it wouldn't surprise me if it surpassed Italy in the actual legality of both of those things.
Yeah. Well, and it is interesting because, of course, we have the most conservative pope in my lifetime, in Ratzinger, Benedict the 16th, I guess he is.
Yeah.
And there is tension between him and the Italian government, because I think he does want to roll back both divorce and abortion rights in Italy. But I think to date the Prodi government has not cooperated with him. I also learned that in England there is an attempt to criminalize marijuana, which is currently, you know, it's not as liberal as the laws in Holland, but it's a kind of don't ask, don't tell misdemeanor. And I read an interesting commentary in the Financial Times by a libertarian who was advancing arguments in opposition to enhancing the penalties for marijuana use. John, I'm out of time in this segment. Thanks for following up. Good to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines available here in the free speech zone. Exercise your rights while you still got them.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I founded a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Did you know that a UFO was sighted over the Monterey Fairgrounds during a blues festival? Or that Pacific Grove police chased a UFO at Asilomar? Join me, Bob Oliver, Saturday morning at 11 a.m. as I host Monterey UFO Sightings. Then, on August 25th, 26th, meet UFO researchers at the Bay Area UFOExpo.com in San Jose. See you there.
Oceans 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Oceans 18 Miniature Golf.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We've got lines open for you in the free speech zone right now. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And for our North Coast listeners, Eureka, Arcata area, programming note, the next 3 days we're going to be partly preempted by Giants baseball. And so this is your chance to get in on the conversation this week. So Eureka, lines are open. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-573-8372. Ask a question of our listeners in the Eureka area. Did Martin Cotton II get what's coming to him? Now, I'm sometimes wary about wading into local controversies because I'm comfortably here in San Francisco, and I don't know that much about the Eureka Police Department or about the behavior of 26-year-old Martin Cotton. So what I'm going to do here is present two versions of the story of an altercation that occurred last Thursday, and then I'd like to ask you to tell me what is missing from the official story and if the skepticism on the part of police critics is warranted. Perhaps you know more about the issue than I do, and I welcome your comments and the information you can offer. Now, this story was published Monday in the Eureka Reporter. It says, an autopsy conducted on the body of the 26-year-old man who died Thursday in police custody showed the man sustained blunt force trauma shortly before he died, but did not determine whether the injuries caused his death. Martin Cotton II of Eureka died after spending less than 2 hours at the Humboldt County Jail following at least two brawls, one of which involved four officers from the Eureka Police Department. Now, keep in mind, this story says four officers. We have an alternate version that's a little different that we'll tell you about in a minute. The next challenge investigators may face, the story goes on, is determining who inflicted the injuries. By all accounts, Cotton's altercation with Eureka Police Department officers was preceded by at least one fight with other residents at the Eureka Rescue Mission. The fights took place inside the cage, a fenced outdoor day-use area next to the mission. Residents there said Cotton was making strange comments, behaving aggressively. He was asked to leave the cage, and when he refused, the request became more forceful. One man said he was looking for a fight, and after Cotton reportedly punched an older mission resident in the head, he got a fight. Several people jumped on Cotton. Police were called. He was repeatedly punched by the group but continued to fight. One altercation stopped, a second began, and again witnesses said Cotton was struck repeatedly but kept fighting. And police chief in Eureka, Gar Nielsen, said two officers arrived almost simultaneously. Again, the number there comes into question in a moment. In their struggle to subdue the man, both doused him with pepper spray. Cotton closed his eyes but continued to advance on the officers, Chief Nielsen said, and at that point it became a physical confrontation. A third Eureka PD officer arrived, then a fourth.
Now, this is interesting. Let's see. They said that two were there originally. Now we're up to four. A nightstick was used, Nielsen said, but insisted his officers didn't beat Cotton in the head and did not use force beyond that required by the situation. Cotton eventually was handcuffed, booked into jail, and he was charged with battery on a peace officer, resisting arrest, and public intoxication. Roughly 2 hours later, he was dead. The cause of Cotton's death has already become the subject of two investigations, one by the Critical Incident Response Team, that the other an in-house inquiry conducted by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, which manages the jail. So that is the story as published in the Eureka Reporter. I first learned about this incident in an email that came from someone cryptically labeled here as Citizen W. Citizen W has a different take. On the afternoon of Thursday, August 9th, Martin Cotton II was beaten severely by the Eureka Police Department. A sack was thrown over his head. He was taken to jail. And according to the Sheriff's Department, he died 2 hours later. Local papers have given only one side of the account, spinning the story to support a police department whose image is already marred by several murders in the last 2 years. People's reports to Redwood Curtain Cop Watch share many common threads, facts that stand out starkly against the media's uncritical parroting of the Sheriff's Department press release. Martin was involved in a confrontation at the rescue mission. Mission staff called the police, who arrived after Martin, unarmed, had already been ejected from the mission. The EPD pepper-sprayed Martin, kicked him, beat him with nightsticks, punched him with fists. EPD pummeled Martin all over his body, including heavily attacking his kidney area while he was on the ground. Now, here's a critical comment. There were 6 to 10 Eureka Police Department officers present and involved in the beating. According to the Eureka Reporter, the count tops out at 4 police officers. The story goes on here from Citizen W. EPD officers intimidated people attempting to photograph the public incident. And contrary to the sheriff's press release, it's clear that excessive deadly force was used. Martin's brutal beating was cruel and undeserved, absolutely unwarranted under any circumstances. EPD took Martin to jail to die rather than immediately bringing him to the hospital. This is unacceptable and only adds to the outrage that we feel. Redwood Curtain Cop Watch believes that as a community we can work toward creating real justice that heals and transforms rather than destroys and erases. Police violence does not make us safe. So, I'd like to hear from you in Eureka. Tell me, number one, if the account in the Eureka Reporter is accurate or if you believe it. And tell me if the report from Citizen W is credible. And in particular, if Citizen W's count of as many as 10 police officers on this one unarmed man varies rather significantly from the official report, which says that no more than 4 police officers were involved. And by the way, if you are an officer with the Eureka Police Department, I welcome your call. If you want to change your name or, you know, avoid getting in trouble with the chief, you may take whatever means necessary, but I am interested in getting at the facts, getting at your perceptions of the Eureka Police Department, and learning more about this. So if you know more, I want to hear from you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jake's on the line. Welcome, Jake, from Arcata Eureka. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not too bad. So give me your thoughts about this. You're active there in the community, and I respect your opinion. Do you have a police department that is prone to using excessive force?
Well, being that I've lived in Eureka, you know, for a year now, and in basically last year, over the course of a year, there were 4 incidents where officers in the Eureka Police Department shot individuals, and currently 2 of those are under investigation by the district attorney here in Humboldt County, because there were, you know, some questions raised as to why the shootings took place. And then this situation where this guy was taken, you know, to the jail, not to the hospital. And even according to the officers, you know, their story is they thought he was under some sort of, you know, serious narcotic, you know, like methamphetamines or something that, you know, made him fight the cops. And that's their story. So why didn't they take him, you know, to be examined medically? You know, and this guy was obviously, you know, even according to their story, they say they beat the man with nightsticks in his legs. They say they didn't beat him anywhere else. Of course, there's witnesses that have a different story. So there's conflicting accounts here, and obviously we need a serious investigation as to what happened, because this isn't the first time. There's been a lot of questions as to other violent incidents involving the Eureka Police Department. And this is the whole reason why people in this community are calling for a civilian review board. And, you know, it's incidents like this that, you know, point out why that's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think that's very balanced on your part. And you know, I appreciate that. Again, I don't have any grudge against the Eureka Police Department, but the information presented here gives me concern. And I think that your call for a full investigation is warranted. Also, from both accounts, it does appear that Mr. Cotton was fighting others before the police arrived. And certainly I don't know what injuries he sustained in the first fracas before the cops got there.
Right. And this is the whole point. You know, we basically get in the Eureka Reporter, what you read to us, the police account. I mean, essentially, that's what you get out of the Eureka Reporter. They basically run press releases. And, you know, it's hard to say. You know, obviously, the Eureka Police Department, they're undermanned. They have officers with very little experience for the most part. So they're under, you know, a lot of strain, and it's understandable in this community. There's been, you know, a rise in crime here locally. So, you know, obviously, you know, the community does have sympathy for the police officers, but there's been these incidents that they can't explain away. I mean, for instance, you know, why is it this guy died and, you know, he never received any medical treatment, apparently. And he obviously was requiring it after what happened to him on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
I think we
need to find out what happened.
The point you made earlier is quite important, that the issue is that given his condition at the time that he was subdued by the police officers, he should have been taken to a hospital first. We can see that now. What I'd like the investigation to unravel is, you know, whether the indications were as obvious as we see them in hindsight.
Right. Well, you know, all this stuff's going to come out. And, you know, the first reports we get in the media, usually they're not the full story.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens with this one. Actually, Peter B., I did call you originally about Ted Stevens.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the whole issue of an FBI actually going into a senator's home, they clearly, like Melanie Sloan said, must have a great deal of evidence against Ted Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here this guy is from Alaska, the longest-serving Republican senator in American history. He is just notorious. Have you ever seen this guy on C-SPAN on the Senate floor? He just gets up there and just, in a rage, screams at people who want to, you know, cut his pork for his state. And he's just a joke. And, you know, this guy is obviously corrupt. He hasn't even been trying to hide it. And now he has these oil men putting extra floors onto his mansion there in Alaska. You know, this is why people cannot stand the Republican Party anymore. Their corruption is just so blatant. It's just so shameless. There's no reason the Republican Party should even have any inkling of a thought in their head that they have any chance of winning next year's election.
Well, and Jake, as Melanie described it, I was thinking of Duke Cunningham and wondering if, you know, he told Ted, hey, here's a nifty way to do it. Or Lisa Murkowski, hey, have somebody buy your house and pay you more than it's worth.
Yeah, that seems to be what these Republicans spend their time doing there in Washington, D.C., is scheming and scamming.
Yeah.
And look at all these Republicans who are obviously criminals like Cunningham, like Ted Stevens, don't forget, you know, our favorite Tom DeLay.
Yep.
These guys, why did anyone ever elect these people to the Congress in the first place?
Well. Well.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That would take a lot of unraveling. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate your comments. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. Eureka, if you want to chime in on this story of the police incident, I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Ron Escamilla,
we're fast and fair. and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes before the hour. I got a couple of lines open if you still want to chime in here on subjects of interest to you. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And it's Brian Urban who answers the phone taking your calls, so be nice to him. Tony in Eureka. Tony, thanks for your call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, I hope it's nice to your screen right there. But anyway, the four shootings that Jake was talking about, I believe the first one of them was a mentally disturbed elderly woman with a flare gun. And I recall that they had shut down the 101 business corridor going through. And then it was just a matter of a few hours after the incident started that they went in and shot her. And my first impression of this was, well, it seems like the Eureka Police Department is moving up in the same, to the same state of mind that the big city police departments have, which is they seem to have no patience for this. They didn't, you know, a lot of questions were, why couldn't they have just waited her out? I mean, Eureka's not a big city. It's
right.
Rather small. And, It just seemed that the whole nature of the city changed with that shooting for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, I don't know the facts on the ground here, but as I've read these accounts really from both sides, it's possible that Mr. Cotton was loaded on meth or some other powerful drug, because he did appear to be kind of impervious to the people who were physically taking him on. Now, I don't know his size. I don't know the size of other people. I don't know just how menacing he was as he was conducting these fisticuffs.
But again, I think fundamentally it should be acknowledged that if the cops knew how badly he was injured, he should not have been taken to jail. He should have been taken to a hospital. And that there probably ought to be some protocols put in place to prevent something like this from happening in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Jake's on the right line, too, with the Citizens Review Board like they have in other cities. But like I say, it's a small city, and I wonder if we didn't have the highest per capita rate for police shootings last year.
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't know, but you could probably inquire at the California Attorney General's office, now run by Jerry Brown, and they probably collect statistics like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Those were my impressions.
Okay, Tony. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And if you'd like to weigh in, there's still time for your call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Just a couple of things here that have been piling up on my desk. This is the desk, by the way, where impeachment is on the table. Interesting response to the resignation of Karl Rove from the White House announced yesterday, and one in the form of an op-ed published in today's New York Times by David Frum. And maybe you don't remember David Frum. He was a speechwriter in the early years of the administration, and he went public claiming paternity of the phrase "axis of evil," which Bush used in the 2002 State of the Union message to frame Iran's North Korea and Iraq as the most problematic nations on the planet. And David Frum, acknowledging that he was only in the administration briefly, still had some pretty heavy comments to make about Rove. Polarization, however, is Karl Rove's specialty. He united his own base on one side and united his opponents on the other. Al Gore and John Kerry each won 48%, the best back-to-back performance by a losing party since the 19th century. Play-to-the-base politics can be a smart strategy, so long as your base is larger than your opponents. But it's been apparent for many years that the Democratic base is growing faster than the Republican base. The numbers of the unmarried and the non-churchgoing are growing faster than the numbers of married and churchgoing Americans. The non-white and immigrant population is growing faster than that of white native-borns. The Democrats are the party of the top and bottom of American society. The Republicans do best in the great American middle, which is losing ground. Rove often reminded me of a miner extracting the last nuggets from an exhausted seam. His attempts to prospect a new mother lode have led the Republican Party into the immigration debacle. In my brief service as a speechwriter in the Bush administration, I often wondered why it was that skeptical, that skeptical experts on issues like immigration could never even get a hearing for their point of view. We took the self-evident brilliance of our own plan so much for granted that we would not even meet, for example, with conservative academics who had the facts and figures to demonstrate the illusion of Rovian hopes for a breakthrough among Hispanic voters. We were so mesmerized by the specious analogies between 1996 and 1896 that we forgot that analogies are literary devices, not evidence. In 2006, the Republicans and conservatives paid the price for this we-know-best attitude. I fear we will pay an even higher price in 2008. That's from David Frum. Very interesting. Aaron in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Great, thanks. Good to be here. I just wanted to call in about that Eureka shooting. That was the Sherry Moore shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And
Was Sherry Moore the elderly woman with the flare gun?
Yes.
Okay.
It seems the police shot her more than once. I heard as high as 12 times, and many in the back.
Ooh.
So the storming in part was kind of, let's say, excessive, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely would stand behind Jake on all his points as well with the Citizens Review Board. Definitely needed in Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to add that as someone who lives and works here.
All right. And, Aaron, what is your sense of Police Chief Nielsen? Is he acknowledging problems on the force, or is he protecting the code blue?
That I couldn't comment on, Peter. I'm sorry. I'm not well informed about him personally.
Uh-huh. Okay. And any other comments you want to make about the Eureka Police?
I do want to point out things do seem to be a little different since then, definitely. And I was one person driving through 101 that day when it got detoured due to that incident. So it was, you know, less than 4 hours. So they didn't wait around very long.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate your comments. Well, I want to thank everybody who listened today and everybody who called. As I mentioned, in Eureka, KGOE has some baseball commitments for the Giants the next 3 days. So we'll be on at the beginning of the show and then preempted as the baseball games come along. So be prepared for that. It's not a it's not some effort to suppress our program. It's just America's favorite pastime. And so the Giants will be on over the next few days. You're welcome to listen online. Go to peterbcollins.com or go to our flagship station in Monterey, krxa540.com, and that's where you can access the live stream on our program. Oh, sorry. I got to save that for later because I don't have enough time, but I do have time to get Roy and Trigger on. Play me out of the house. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same stations. Thank you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a full affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Ah, sunny Southern California.
102 in Woodland Hills right now. 105 in Saugus. Agoura Hills has 99 degrees.
The heat is baking much of the nation's southern tier with triple-digit readings common. At least a dozen deaths are blamed on the weather, mostly elderly people in homes without air conditioning. In St. Louis, KMOX Radio's Kevin Killeen ventured briefly out of the AC.
It's an awful day outside for construction workers cutting a sidewalk.
How do you cope?
A lot of water. Lots and lots of water.
Or roofers up on a flat black roof in this heat.
What's it like up there?
It's pretty intense.
It's so hot you feel sorry for the meter man writing parking tickets.
Oh.
You ever see a car that's illegally parked on a day like today and just say, ah, it's too hot, let them go?
Yeah, sometimes it's just that way.
Kevin Killeen, CBS News, St. Louis.
For Harry Weiser, an ice wholesaler in Houston, business is suddenly booming.
A month ago, nobody wanted to talk to us. It was raining. But now, we got people coming and going. They're coming after it by the ice chest.
For the second time this year, a wildfire has burned part of L.A.'s Griffith Park. It covered about an acre before helicopters doused it with water. People were evacuated from Griffith Observatory, which sits on a hilltop above where the flames were. In Minneapolis, 3 days of heavy rain had the Mississippi River flowing so fast that divers had to suspend the search for victims of the bridge collapse. 4 people are still missing. Plans for a replacement span are already taking shape, as WCCO Radio's Adam Carter reports.
Minnesota transportation officials released preliminary ideas for the new bridge, which will carry 10 lanes of traffic in the same location as the old bridge, which collapsed 2 weeks ago. Tom O'Keefe with the Minnesota Department of Transportation says the new bridge will in some way honor the memories of those who died on August 1st.
The project is more than anything a bridge replacement project, but we'll also begin the discussion of memorial planning there.
Officials hope to have the bridge open by the end of 2008. Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
In northern Iraq, where U.S. forces are thin, suicide bombings aimed at a small religious sect are said to have taken a terrible toll. The Iraqi army says at least 175 people were killed. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan in Baghdad says U.S. military officials report casualties today in the crash of a Chinook transport helicopter.
They have said that five service members were killed in this helicopter crash, which happened west of Baghdad near the city of Ramadi. And this is